Eric Stevens, in real life, beat reporter for the Anaheim Ducks, joins us once again. Eric, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Hey, Jason. I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Outstanding. The Anaheim Ducks were off to just a brutal start. They couldn't score to save their life. Like, it was ridiculous. I think they got shut out four times in their first seven games. They have found a way to turn the ship in the direction that most people expected. They're 4-0-1 in their last five, and might have been 5-0 if it wasn't for a horrible giveaway by Getzlaff in a 3-on-3 overtime that let Boddicker go in all alone from center ice and score on a breakaway. What differences did they make in their team play to suddenly be that team that everyone expected them to be at the start of the season?
Well, yeah, I don't know if they made any, you would say, maybe significant differences, other than obviously when they were not scoring, they really, you know, paid more attention and poured more focus on their defensive play. You know, that's just obvious. I mean, if you're being shut out 4 out of 7 games, or 5 out of 8, or like you said, whatever it was, you have to at least pay attention to the defensive side of it. So they did that. They tightened up their neutral zone. But it's just a matter of just getting guys scoring goals. I mean, it was historic, really, the ineptness that they were showing in the offensive end. And it started right from the top with the biggest guys not putting the puck in the net. And you could just go down the list. I mean, Corey Perry finally scored the other night, and he's got a couple. But Ryan Getzlaff doesn't have a goal. Ryan Kessler got his first goal Monday night. Jakob Silverberg, a guy that they signed for a good amount of money this offseason, he's still stuck on zero. So it's really been just a matter of time where, at the start of the year, it was almost like 15 guys all at once were, frankly, playing pretty lousy. And one by one, they've been getting guys kind of back into the loop and back into the mix as the weeks have gone on here. So, yeah, they're playing better, but they're not all the way there yet. But it's certainly a far different case right now than, say, at the start of the season.
Well, Eric, you know how it goes. I mean, fans in any city, the Ducks have set the bar high. Fans want to know what the heck's going on with the slow start. Here in Edmonton, 5-10-0 isn't cutting it, after the 9 years we've had out of the playoffs. But, you know, the Ducks are going to come around. They're a good hockey club. They're well coached. But the one guy I still look at, and I know it's early and I know there were health issues, Getzlaff. You know, guys are slowly coming around. The numbers don't suggest that he is, but what about what you see with his play on the ice, allowing for that mistake the other night?
Well, I think that one, that was just one mistake, and it was a bad one. I mean, Michael Boddicker really should send him thank you notes for that. Whether he's healthy, not healthy whatsoever, that was just a very, very poor decision there. But, you know, particularly in this 3-on-3 overtime here, you know, you're not, and he even said it afterward, or realized it afterward, you know, you're not going to have the kind of, you know, backup there on, you know, whether it's a rotating forward or your defenders whatsoever back behind you. You can't make a pass. You can't make a pass like that. And Bruce Boudreau was pretty terse about it. So that's just really a bad decision. As far as his overall play, I think, you know, coming off of the having his appendix removed, his skating in that first game, I mean, he skated better than, frankly, I had seen him, you know, in a long time. But I think in one way or another, he's sort of still kind of working himself into this season and what he and a lot of others anticipated was going to be a very long season. But I think he'll be the first to tell you that, he needs to play with a more greater sense of urgency, you know, particularly with the predicament that they're in. They're in a little bit better spot now as opposed to earlier, but you know, he'd probably be the first to tell you that he's been subpar in the early going.
Eric Stevens joins us, beat reporter of the Anaheim Ducks. Oilers taking on the Ducks tonight. They'll be wearing their flashy orange third jerseys tonight. How's Sean Horkoff fit in Anaheim?
I think Sean has done what what's to be expected of him. You know, he was signed as a, you know, what he is at this stage, a good depth forward who can be versatile and, you know, whether play center or on the wing, and, you know, and maybe be moved around in the lineup. You know, I think even because of Nate Thompson still recovering from a shoulder injury and a couple of other injuries, you know, he's being relied on, you know, maybe say more than expected here over the, you know, the last week or two. But, you know, you guys know him obviously very well. He's a consummate pro. He's a, you know, kind of a leader type in the locker room, obviously a former captain. You know, he can be a sounding board there, and he's a good locker room guy. And he still delivers, again, quality play there on the ice, just in terms of doing a lot of the little things, you know, that you need. And you know, this is why they viewed him as a good depth signing over the summer. So out of the additions that they made, and there really are some questions, you know, still with some of them, I think Sean's been one of those who's at least delivered what you would have expected from him.
Eric, bit bigger picture here, but, you know, we've talked about some of the guys who are known to deliver, struggling at least through the start. You know, I expect that'll turn around. The one thing I think about, and some of these guys aren't even on the roster now, this organization has got a lot in the pipeline. There's some kids coming, and they're not going to affect right now or even this season necessarily, but it seems to me the Ducks are well set up to replenish this roster when need be.
Yeah, no, that's a very good point, and they're going to have to because, you know, when you've got your big guys like Getzlaff and Perry and Kessler whatsoever, they're now 30 or on that other side of 30, so you've got to think that they've either already hit their peak years or, you know, are sort of at it and maybe are starting to go on the other side of it. So you're going to have to replenish it if you're going to want to contend, you know, or view yourself as a, you know, a playoff contender for years on end. You've got to be able to essentially get guys, young guys, in order to replace those current stars. You know, they've got three obviously good ones. I mean, it's pretty laughable to almost think of John Gibson as a prospect, but they're able to stash him away in San Diego and in the A now, while Freddie Anderson has the number one job in Anaheim for now. But you know, he's going to be the guy in the future. They signed him for three more years, and then with Nick Ritchie, who's been tearing it up in the AHL in the early going here, and Shea Theodore back there on the back end, they've got, you know, three high end, you know, you could say elite level, you know, quote unquote prospects that they'll be able to put into the lineup, you know, probably all at next year. But it also presents some, you know, key decision making, you know, for the Ducks right now in terms of what do you do with Freddie Anderson,
yeah,
in terms of signing him and on that back end, trying to incorporate Shea Theodore and even Josh Manson, who's been playing well, you know, whatsoever. You know, what are you going to do with a guy like Sammy Vatanen, you know, or others there? So it's there are worse problems to have, put it that way. Rob Murray's got some key decisions to make, but he's got three really good, talented guys there in line to step in next season.
Eric, they have so much money tied up starting next season in the three forwards, Kessler, Perry, and Getzlaff. Really, their window of opportunity to win has to come, you know, this year or next year. So with those three high-end prospects, especially one being a goalie, and they've got Freddie Anderson, you know, it seems logical that they would move one of the goalies to try to fill it, because, you know, having two good goalies only helps you if one gets hurt, right? Otherwise, maybe you could use that for another position. Is there an obvious weakness on a forward position that they need, or a defenseman? Do you think they would dangle one of those two goalies?
Well, you know, the thing about it, obviously, okay, say, for instance, you take Freddie Anderson. You know, he's probably their most valuable trade chip, okay? He's also been their best player.
Yeah, I don't think you want to trade him. It's probably Gibson, yeah, right?
They signed Gibson for three years. I mean, they made their bed with him, so to speak. They, you know, gave him a nice, you know, nice contract here to basically say, okay, you know, suck it up for a season in San Diego there, and then, you know, we'll call you when your time is ready. But you know, Freddie Anderson, he's going to be up after this year. But again, are you going to want to really, you know, basically trade your number one goalie and trade your best, you know, chip, especially with last season, them having some real issues with Anderson and with Gibson being injured and having to, you know, find Ilya Brizgalov out of desperation. I don't think they want to go that route again. But as far as needs or so, some scoring wingers, you know, the ones that they have right now aren't delivering, you know, but then again, they've tied up money with Carl Hagelin and they've got Silverberg. So if they're in a tough spot where they can't really make any, say, obvious, you know, moves or obvious roster moves whatsoever. But you've got to believe that, you know, Bob Murray's, you know, kicking the tires on guys. And, you know, we've seen the Patrick Marleau rumors and whatsoever, but, you know, he's certainly looking, but that would probably be the area that they would look at in terms of just getting maybe another finisher or so in here.
Eric, we've talked about the young players in the pipeline. I've got to ask you, you mentioned San Diego. Dallas Eakins is down there. He had a rough go of it for lots of different reasons during his time in Edmonton. How close are Tabs given the talent on the farm? Are you keeping on San Diego, and are you hearing anything good or bad about what's happening down there under Eakins?
You know, I have kept tabs a little bit. I mean, the reports that I've heard, for one, you know, Bob Murray has been long and high on Dallas Eakins. And, yeah, you know, like you said, you know, it was a rough go of it there. In the head job in Edmonton, but you know, he's probably at the right, in a good spot right now. He's, and certainly the talent that they have available, the drafted guys or whatsoever, it's a good mix. And from what I understand, that some of those young guys have really been thriving under Dallas there in San Diego. It's taken place in the standings. They've done really well. I think they're like 8-2 or so. So, you know, they're coming together, and then a lot of those prospects, some of those same prospects weren't flourishing when they were in Norfolk. So you've got to believe that, you know, he is doing a good job with those young guys that they have in terms of helping further their development, particularly since, you know, Anaheim being the roster that they have right now, they don't have to rush them. So they can stay there for a time and develop.
Eric, always good to catch up with you. The Ducks obviously made the right decision not to have a knee-jerk reaction and fire Bruce Boudreau. The team's got things turned around. And the Oilers, desperate for a win, will try to come in there. And the Oilers can't win in their orange jerseys yet this year, so maybe they'll try to defeat a team with their bright orange jerseys.
Yeah, although theirs aren't as bright, but yeah, you know, orange, when you cut it one way or another, is still a pretty bright color. I don't have a problem with
it, by the way.
A lot of people, I think it's okay. A lot of other people don't like it, but I don't have a problem. It stands out among all the black uniforms that are out there.
Actually, I like the orange jerseys. The Oilers have just yet to have any success in them. But and even the Ducks, I like the color of the jersey. The Oilers are hoping that the bright orange remains winless tonight. Eric, good to talk to you again. We'll do it again soon.
All right, Jason, Robin, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.